Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest in the show, please send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. I'm excited today. I got my friend Olga Briggs with us from Lifetime Tax and Accounting. Awesome show today. We're going to help you choose the proper type of entity for a new business. Hi, Olga. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Kevin. It's nice being here.
So I'm really excited for today's episode because being a professional networker over the last 11 years, I've seen this issue come up all the time. People start a business and they ask their buddy who has a business, hey, what form of ownership should I be? And I'm like, no, don't do that. You have to seek out a qualified tax lawyer, people like that, who can walk you through the pros and cons. So today, let's try our best to do a little bit of that. So let's start at the beginning. What are the entity choices for small business owners in the state of New Hampshire?
Okay, well, it would depend on the ownership structure and the industry that the entity would operate in. If there is only one owner, the choice would be either unincorporated sole proprietorship, which is so-called DBA, doing business as. You could be a single member LLC, or it could be a corporation. For multi-owner entities, you could either form a partnership, you could form a limited liability company, or again, a corporation. For beginner business owners, I would recommend either a sole proprietorship or single member LLC because so far it's been the cheapest choice to form.
Yep.
For LLCs, it also gives liability protection for the owner.
Which is key.
Yes.
I find a lot of people don't think about that, Olga. You're like, well, but, you know, Kevin, what's my chances of, you know, being sued for something, perhaps? And I'm like, well, sometimes very high, depending on what type of business you're in. And sometimes you don't even think about, you know, what the risk
is. Absolutely. And LLCs, if properly structured and if the assets are placed properly in the company, can definitely give you a lot of protection from being sued and being taking your personal assets today taken away, basically. So
then, Olga, what are the legal requirements to establish a business then?
Okay, there are basically two steps in the process. So first, you have to obviously choose what kind of type of company you would like to establish, and you have to file certain forms with the Secretary of State. If the choice is an unincorporated sole proprietorship, it is advisable to register your business name as doing business as. For example, if you are like John Smith and you want to name your business Smith Plumbing Services, for example, that would be a doing business as name. Companies like partnerships, LLCs, corporations, they need to file formal paperwork to be established and pay an annual fee to stay in good standing with the state. Companies like multi-owner partnership and LLCs are strongly advised to have partnership or LLC member agreements also signed and enacted between partners or owners. Corporations would need corporate bylaws created and signed. Those documents, they basically outline operating terms of the entity, like ownership structure, terms of accepting new owners, dismissing owners, dissolution of the company, distribution of income, distribution of profits, losses, assets, compensation of owners, exit strategy, things like that, basically. And you can think of those documents when you form your company as a prenuptial agreement between business owners. You basically agree to things and what to do when things do not go right and you don't agree on how to run your business.
So there's a lot of considerations, Olga.
It is, yes. And it's very important to have it placed up front, because the consequences of not having those can be pretty detrimental to the company. If you don't agree on something and one owner decides to change the terms of the partnership or limited liability company operations, it can be really expensive in legal terms to resolve those matters. So definitely it's important to have those documents. I also wanted to mention that, for example, partnerships on their own, they do not have to be registered with the state as a company, but they do need to have partnership agreements. So they're kind of considered as an unincorporated association of partners. LLCs, on the other hand, they have to be registered with the state. So those are the difference. If partnerships do not have partnership agreements, they are considered joint ventures, and it's treated absolutely differently.
I think that's important. You know, I've seen a number of people go in and start partnerships, and they just don't think of all the different things that could happen, you know, disagreement among the partners. So to spend some time and really put together a thorough agreement is necessary for the business, as well as, you know, in most cases, their friends to start with. If you want to keep, you know, your friend and your business, that becomes essential, at least just through my experience.
Yes,
so
I agree with that. Yes, you
sorry,
basically write those agreements for the bad days, not for the good days. So
yeah.
It's important.
I use the expression, it's like getting married. You know, nobody thinks about,
correct,
hey, this is going to end. You're like, oh,
yes,
Olga, you know, we have this great business idea. You know, it's going to be amazing, all this good stuff. And then when something goes wrong, you're like, oh, my God, you know, now what? Olga wants to, you know, grow the business. I don't want to, whatever the situation may be. And now you're at an impasse, and it just can get really, really sticky really quickly, unfortunately.
That's true.
But then we bring it all back to taxation. So the various types of entities can have different taxes. Can you walk us through how it impacts tax?
That is absolutely right. And funny that you ask. For tax purposes, each entity can be treated differently than its legal structure. For example, a multi-member LLC can be treated as a partnership for tax purposes by default, or as an S or C corporation. A sole proprietorship or single-member LLC can be treated as a sole proprietorship by default, or it can choose to be an S or C corporation. If an entity chooses to be treated differently for tax purposes than its legal structure, it has to make that choice in writing within prescribed time frame with the Internal Revenue Service. So partnerships, LLCs, and S-corporations are called pass-through entities for taxation purposes. That means that while they're separate entities legally, they are not being taxed on a federal level as separate entities. Instead, the income or losses are being passed through those entities to their owners, and then they're being taxed on the owner's individual level. So keep in mind, though, that New Hampshire does not recognize S corporation status, and it taxes S corporation as a corporation, just regular C corporation.
So, Olga, what's the difference between an S and a C corporation then?
Well, the difference between S and C corporation is that S corporation is called after subchapter S of Internal Revenue Service that governs the taxation rules. And basically, it's smaller in size than a regular C corporation. You can only have under 100 shareholders. The shareholders can only be U.S. individuals. It cannot be publicly traded, and it can only have one type of corporate stock. And also, it cannot operate in financial services industry, like be a bank or insurance company. So to become an S corporation, you have to elect that status with the IRS. And once you elect that status, you cannot change it within 5 years. So, and the major benefit
of super big decision.
Corporation. I'm sorry?
That's a super big decision then.
It is, yes, it is. So you have to really plan ahead. But the benefit of S corporation, if the company has enough income, and the company can treat its owners as employees. And owners, especially if it's a if it's owned by just one person, and there are no more employees, so the owner can pay himself or herself benefits like health insurance, retirement plans, flexible spending plans, and those benefits become pre-tax corporate expenses, which obviously is a huge benefit in the tax realm there. You have big tax savings.
So now, Olga, what happens when we have a multi-state operation? What are the requirements then?
When you have a multi-state operation, you really need to look at what actually happens. Like, for example, if you have an office in a different state, then and you have employees, so you have property in a different state, then in many cases, and again, the law depends on each state, but in many cases, you have to register your company within that other state as a foreign entity, and you have to keep the same type of entity. You cannot have, like, for example, an LLC in New Hampshire, but then you go in Massachusetts and you register it as a corporation. You have to be treated the same way across the border. So, but if you just merely sell goods or services across the border to a different state, then you don't really. You are not required to register a company in that state. You will be required to pay income taxes based on income that you derive from that state, but you don't have to establish a foreign entity in that state, basically.
So now, Olga, can you sit down with people and walk them through this? Because as we've just heard, and there's a lot more than just, you know, kind of randomly picking one form of an entity so that people can understand what the tax benefits may be, as well as the level of liability they may be accepting when they form, one of the entities.
These are usually one of the main questions that people ask us to do, especially when they're establishing a new business. And even the existing business owners, we periodically review their business structure and advise them on the current law. Like, for example, the tax law that we have enacted now, which was it was enacted in 2017, I believe, at the end, and it fully became active in 2018. So it's a new tax law. It provides that C corporations now only have a flat tax rate, which is 21% across the border any income level. But it also provides a very interesting deduction for pass-through entities and sole proprietorships. It gives you 20% of business profit off of your taxable income. So you really have to look at how it plays out in your individual situation, and that is exactly what we do at Lifetime Tax here.
Olga, how can people reach out to you? How can they learn more, my friend?
Well, you can find us online at lifetimetax.com. You can call us at 603-230-2404. You can just stop by to our friendly office here. We are located in Concord, right behind Target, 261 Sheep Davis Road, Suite 7, and we will be happy to see you and help you out with all your entity planning and taxation needs.
Olga, I really appreciate you taking the time out of the day to call on the show, and as always, thanks for being my friend.
Well, thank you very much. It's always been my pleasure, Kevin.
Have a great day, Olga. Bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.